Praise the Lord again. You can go ahead and be seated. We had a very powerful service this morning. And I am so thankful to attend a church where I can feel the presence of the Almighty God. And I spoke some time ago and I made some comments concerning what I felt was a shift that I was feeling in the spirit. A shift concerning the change in the season in which we were in. And we have but a few more services this year, and 2015 will be behind us. It's hard to believe that it's been 15 years since the turn of the century. I remember in high school and junior high and such, and talked about the year 2015, all of these great technological advances and things like that that we would be experiencing. And here we are 15 years beyond that point. It's hard to believe that this year, 2015, has gone by so very, very quickly. Over the past few months, I've felt an increase in what I guess I would like to identify as spiritual activity. And I'm not one to run around and chase demons, and I'm not going to take and spiritualize them. I don't want to give the enemy any more credit at all, because there's always been there, and for all practical purposes, he will always be there until we're caught away in the rapture, and in that case, they will still be here and we will be over there. And I have felt a strong opposition in the spirit realm more than ever before. I have felt a push back. I believe that there is about to be, or there is, a major shift in the spirit realm that we as a church, we are engaged in, and I believe that God is ready to move, and we are going to move with Him. It is my desire to make sure that this church, when God says it's time to move, that we move. If you are here tonight and you have no desire to move, I don't care. We are moving. You can stay where you're at. Just stay out of the way. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm not trying to be smart alecky. I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to tell you that when God says this cloud, this fire is moving, you better move with it. And if you don't move with it, you will be left behind. I'm not going to go hunting for you, searching for you, begging for you. As I was preparing for this last series of this year, I was looking to go in a very different direction. I'd met with Sister Vicki Leonardson, our music minister, and I had told her what I desired for the month of December. And she was to work on the music side of things, and I was to work on the preaching, the topic side of things, and I laid out a few topics. We settled on a series titled The Innkeeper's Key, and I was going to add a few keys in which that we could live by. You see, God desires that His church, He desires that His church not just be any church. He doesn't desire, He's not looking for just an average, everyday, normal, come as you are, leave as you came church. He is looking for a powerful, powerful, blood-washed, spirit-filled church. A church that will seek after His will, and will seek after His desires and His plans, not chasing after some social agenda. In prayer, I asked God, I said, God, what are you going to require of me? And as I began to pray and I began to study and I began to read His word, God opened up, of all things, Matthew chapter 5. And God, as if God was saying to me, I desire a blessed church. I desire a happy church. with so much hatred and so much bitterness and so much venom in our world today, God is saying, I desire my church to reach out to me. Reach out above the fray and above all of the turmoil and the strife in the world today. Reach out to me and become that bright light, that shining beacon that sits high up on the hill. But in order for us as a church, as an individual, to be that shining beacon, it is a must. It is a must. It is simply a must that we purify and purge ourselves from all unrighteousness. Thus my journey through Matthew chapter 5. Tonight, I would like to introduce to you the fourth key in our series, The Innkeeper's Keys, reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. I actually have the wrong text down here. I'll just open this up. Can you just put up Matthew 3, 5, 3 and go all the way through? I apologize for that. Matthew 5, 3, it starts out, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. We talked about this morning. The meek. We can substitute blessed, we can put the word happy in there. Happy are the teachable. We learned that this morning. Happy are the teachable, for they shall inherit the earth. And tonight we're going to cover, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are they. Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This morning after church, my brother John, who is an over-the-road truck driver, was coming through town, actually on one of his routes heading north and east, and he stopped in for service this morning, and we went out to lunch. I don't get to go to lunch with him very often. We went out to lunch with him. I went to lunch with him and my sister-in-law, Lori. And our choice, as we stood in the lobby after service and discussed where we're going to go, our choice was down to Red Lobster or Texas Roadhouse. Now, it was him and I discussing this. It wasn't much of a discussion. We decided on Texas Roadhouse because he wanted steak, and I thought that was a good idea. So 30 seconds later, we settled on Texas Roadhouse, and I love Texas Roadhouse. You see, I love to go in immediately. We're going down to food. It's hunger and thirst after righteousness. We got to cover the hunger and the thirst part. We'll get to the righteousness. So I end up at Texas Roadhouse, and I love it because you can go in. You don't have to ask for anything. There's peanuts all over the place. You can get you a bucket of peanuts. And you can sit down and you can start cracking open peanuts and start eating those peanuts. They bring a hot bread to your table, 4 pieces of bread, nice, beautiful, beautifully done rolls. And there's this butter, this sweet molasses-type butter that you cut open that bun and you put that butter in, and it's just running out. There's peanut holes all over. You're sipping a Coca-Cola, eating butter, rolls, and you haven't even turned in your order yet. It doesn't get any better than that. So here we go. John ordered shrimp. Garlic shrimp is an appetizer. Come on, a big skewer. 2 pieces of garlic bread. We shared it. It was good. 11-ounce sirloin, potatoes with the burgundy peppercorn gravy, a salad, and a Coca-Cola. And God said it was good. I love it. I'm so thankful when God led Noah out of the ark. Noah looked at that cow and said, aha, medium rare, sizzling on some charcoal. Some people just eat kale. That's cool if that's what you want. It's fine with me. Tonight after service, I've got a gift card. Grandma Mollett, Grandma Powell, we know her as, gave us a gift card to Cracker Barrel. And I'm thinking, Brother Thomas, Cajun fried catfish. That sounds really good. You see, all of this really does have a point. You see, we as Americans, we as Calvary Gospel Church, me as a pastor, we love to eat. You get that drift. Annually, we spend over $4 trillion a year on food. $4 trillion a year. About 5% of our food money goes for snacks. That's $20 billion each year for snacks. You can go into my office and I got pretzels with peanut butter in them. I got cheese nips. I got a bag of those chocolate glazed donuts in my refrigerator because I like them cold. When you come in for counseling, you have no idea, but underneath my desk is a whole flutter of different types of soft drinks. Mountain Dew, ginger ale. We love snacks. $20 billion worth of snacks. According to the federal government, over 35% of us as Americans are overweight. And each year, millions jog. You realize we jog 17 million miles a year as Americans to burn off 1.7 billion calories. Seems to me that we're either going to have to run farther or we're going to have to eat less. You see, the old saying goes, you are what you eat. And sometimes I wonder what that would make some of us. As I look out across here tonight, some of you might look like just a big piece of key lime pie. James Novak. Some of you, I've never seen you eat anything other than pizza. So when I look at you, you look like a big pepperoni pizza. Mountain Dew. That's probably what I would look at Coca-Cola. You see, this maximum only applies to our physical body when we say you are what you eat, but also we can apply that to our spiritual lives. Now, you knew that we weren't just going to dwell on Cracker Barrel and Texas Roadhouse tonight. You see, throughout the scripture, we find a simple truth. What you put in your mind, what you put into you becomes you. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I don't care what you tell me with your mouth. It's what's in your heart. It's your actions that betray you. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, bringing forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringing forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. To make it quite simple, we are what we eat. Whatever we feed our minds to, whatever we seek to fill our lives with, whatever consumes our time and our energy, these things determine who and what we really are. The psalmist understood how this spiritual dynamic really worked. Why are your family or friends the way that they are? Why do people say things or do things the way that they do? The answer is found in what they feed their heart, what nourishes their spirit. Psalms 135, 15 through 18, the idols of the nations are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but they cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in him. What gods does our society seek after today? What do people fill their lives with today? What captures their attention and their energy? People are caught up and captivated by money and power, captivated by sports and fame and entertainment or the various forms of pleasure that they seek. These are the idols which they have made for themselves. They would be the gods that people run after. These gods, these idols are lifeless. They have no breath in their mouths. Likewise, the people who serve them remain spiritually dead. These idols have ears, but they cannot hear. And their subjects are deaf to the truth. An idol has eyes, but he cannot see. Just as so many people are blind and unable to see. But the scripture tells us, happy are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to ask you tonight, how hungry are you tonight? How hungry are you tonight? How thirsty tonight, how thirsty is your soul? Has your spiritual hunger and your spiritual thirst been satisfied? Are you still looking for something or someone to fill that hunger and thirst in your life? You see, hunger and thirst is a natural, reoccurring cycle of life. You see, one sign of being sick is you lose your appetite. You just don't feel like eating. We get the flu, you get run a fever, and you get chilled, and you don't want anything to eat. You could put a beautiful lobster dinner down in front of you, and you wouldn't want it. Give me some crackers and some soup. I want just some water. I don't want anything, maybe some juice. You see, however, a healthy individual, we will go regularly to the cupboard. We will go regularly to the refrigerator to find something to eat. And with your meal or snack, even between meals, you're going to pour yourself something to drink. You see, in the same way we all experience physical hunger and thirst, we also have a spiritual hunger and thirst. Throughout our lives, we will experience this spiritual hunger. We will experience a longing and a desire for more. And God says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, set eternity in the hearts of men, saying, eternity, man will constantly have a hunger and a desire and a thirst that he cannot quench. God has placed within the heart of man a hunger and a thirst for what this world can offer. We sense the eternal value of man, something that only God can truly satisfy. And some people look at all kinds of things to fill their spiritual hunger, only to go away still hungry. Long before their hunger and their thirst returns, they're looking for more ways to satisfy their desires. Our world today, our society today is suffering from a spiritual famine. We're suffering from spiritual malnutrition. We've seen the images of children in countries across our world with bloated stomachs and dry and cracked lips. Individuals and communities are starving to death because there's no food and water. But you see, a spiritual famine has also swept across our globe. And it's affecting people in much the same way. You see, the spiritually famished are reaching out and they're seeking whatever crumbs that they can find that the world has to offer. And they're literally dying spiritually because there's nothing there to feed that hunger and that thirst that's in their soul. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. People are look for meaning in money and drugs and popularity, and we scrape the bottom of the barrel in hopes to find something to satisfy that spiritual hunger. And we can't find it. We want more. Just as our physical bodies. I had a great lunch, but right now I'm hungry again. It's over and over. Just as my physical, my flesh desires for another meal, my spirit cries out and says, I need more. But so many people, they don't know where to go. They don't know how to find. They don't know where to seek after. You see, when we come to Jesus Christ, you can stop looking for those things that the world offers to satisfy that hunger and thirst, because it is in Jesus Christ to find satisfaction. You see, you can leave here tonight, and you can continue searching, and you can search, and you can search, and you can search. You can go from church to church to church, religion to religion. You can go from spiritual seminar to spiritual seminar. You can go from yoga class to internal spiritual medication. You can put soothing rocks and cool spiritual mist all over, and nothing is going to satisfy that spiritual hunger that is killing you from the inside out. That's why Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. It is me. Stop looking for everything else. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus and John, a little later in the book of John, John chapter 7, 37, 38, and in the last day, in the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if any man thirst, if any man here today is thirsty, they can't fill that longing, that emptiness that's inside of them. If you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus is the bread of life. He satisfies our hunger. Only Jesus Christ can give us living water to satisfy that thirst. You see, hunger and thirsting is continual. Every day we get hungry. Here at church around 11 o'clock, your stomach begins to growl and the staff comes out and starts walking up and down the halls, and somebody's always got some snacks sitting out. It's a daily pattern we go through. Because our body reached a point where it says, I need some more food. It's the same with thirst. It's the same in the spiritual realm of our lives. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness in our lives. It's a day-by-day thing that needs to be a continual part of our lives. It's like going and having a nice steak and a big baked potato and fries and a salad. You can eat dinner that night, but by the time you wake up in the morning, you got to refill. You got to replenish. Jesus took something that we all do, something that we all understand. We all hunger. We all thirst. And he says, but he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he that hungers and thirsts after me. The more it grows, the more we need to feed it. I love as the psalmist declared in Psalm 42, 1 through 11, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Where are you cast down, O my soul? He goes on to say, from the hill, miser deep calls into deep as the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. Where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Early I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. How desperate, church, are we to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. Righteousness. You see, it's something that we simply cannot live without. We need to hunger and thirst after God on a daily basis. Every second of every day, hunger and thirsting needs to be a vital part of our lives, so that so much that we cannot live without satisfying that spiritual hunger and thirst. But there are so many things that draw us away. Why is it? Why do we as Christians, why is it that we can become obsessed with going to movies, and these movies are geared toward and based upon adultery and divorce and violence and cursings, taking the Lord's name in vain? Why is it? Mockery of God and Christianity, the degrading of human life. Why? Why do we take and put into our minds these images? We had someone recently that wanted to have a song played here at church. And I said, I want to see the lyrics to the song. And I began to look at this, and there were a number of swear words, and they used a derogatory racist terms, and I'm like, why in the world would you want to listen to this? Why would you want to play this? It's nothing but smut. It's nothing but junk. It's nothing but trash. I don't care who wrote it. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care. I don't care. It's trash. These things hinder. Do we not understand? It's these things that come in and they begin to tear down the very fabric of our lives. They tear down our relationship with God, and they distract us from true righteousness, from godly righteousness. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you know, we are going to a holy city. I just can't imagine sitting around the throne of God in a holy city, rapping all of these words to some of these supposedly Christian songs. I just can't see God going for that. I don't know. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. But you know, you get to heaven, that's okay. You can go ahead and do it all. I don't see God just saying, yeah, we're going to do away with that here now. I don't see that happening. You see, we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But it's not easy to do that. The reason it's not easy is because we have what we call our flesh. I'm not talking about our skin. I'm not talking about the organ that stretches all around our bodies and keeps our insides from falling out. I'm talking about our flesh. I'm talking about when God created us, He gave us a flesh. We have fleshly desires. And we fight this. We fight our flesh. Our flesh does not want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Our flesh does not want to take and go down that road. It's too much of a problem. It's too hard to discipline ourselves. So we give in. But you see, we have to make some tough choices. We have to choose to be different. Not to always do what other people are doing. We have to be as Daniel, who by himself stood alone in the midst of his peers, both young and old, and said, I will simply not bow. I simply will not stop praying. I'm going to pray every day faithfully. And he continued. And as a result, he faced the lions. You see, there's no doubt that we in our lifetimes, we're always going to battle against the flesh. We're always going to battle against sin. The writer of Hebrews states in Hebrews 12, 3 and 4, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest ye become weary and discouraged in your souls. Ye have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. You see, we live in a world. We live in a world that is so sinful. But you see, if we are to be the salt and the light and show the love of Jesus Christ, we have got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It has got to become a passion in our life. You see, the men who wrote these psalms, they had a true passion for God. God captivated their lives. It is what they longed for because they knew and understood that it's only Him. It is only God that can truly satisfy. We read in the New Testament, Apostle Paul writes to the church of the Philippians, and he says, yes, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. You see, here the Apostle Paul is showing us that it's not by any righteousness of our own, but it's a faith in Jesus Christ that he's pressing on to lay hold of which Christ has laid hold of him. He lays all the cares of this world aside and he strives after righteousness in his walk with God. He desires above all else to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, and he counts all things in his life, all of his accomplishments, all that he has done, he counts it as just mere trash. You see, are we striving to live lives that are godly and righteous? We're not talking about an outward appearance of righteousness. You know, we can all dress the part. We're talking about what's in our hearts. What are the things that our heart longs after? What are the things that our heart hungers after? You see, Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If our musicians can come. You see, we are blessed. We are happy if we hunger and thirst after God, after the righteousness, doing that which is right in and through God. You see, I want to ask this one last question as you stand. What are you hungering and thirsting for tonight? What are you hungry for? What are you thirsting for? What is it that are your desires? I read a story that really hit me. This was just a few years back. A young Marine corporal named Joey Mora was standing on a platform of an aircraft carrier that was patrolling the Iranian Sea. And incredibly, he fell overboard. And his absence was not known for 36 hours. A search and rescue mission began, but was given up on after an additional 24 hours. They had no idea. No one could survive in the sea even without a life jacket for 60 hours. His parents were notified that he was missing and he was presumed dead. I guess you could say that the rest of this story is one of those that truth is really sometimes stranger than fiction. You see, four Pakistani fishermen found Joey Mora 72 hours after he had fallen from the aircraft carrier. He was treading water, clinging to a makeshift flotation device that he had been trained and taught how to make from his trousers, his pants. He was delirious when they pulled him under their fishing boat. His tongue was dry and it was cracked and his throat was parched. But he kept on. 2 years later, he spoke on NBC News. He recounted the unbelievable story of a will to live. He said it was God who kept him struggling to survive. His discovery by the fishermen was like literally searching for a needle in a haystack. Joey said that one thought that took over his body and pounded into his brain was that he was surrounded by water. everywhere, as far as he could see, was water. And barring some miracle, he would literally die of dehydration in an ocean of trillions of gallons of water. You see, we understand that because of the salt content of the water, he couldn't drink it. Tonight, here, you are surrounded by water. But this water, if you drink it, you will never thirst again. Yet some of us will come into this place with dry and parched lips. Literally hours from death from dehydration. Spiritual dehydration. And you're surrounded by water. Yet you will not drink. During worship, we sing, quenching our souls. We listen to the preaching, the scriptures, designed to hydrate our lives. Yet, so many people still leave thirsty. I don't understand why so many people refuse to drink from a well that will never run dry. I don't understand why there are so many souls, so many Christians, that your souls are shriveled up with dehydration. Yet you. Altar area up front for you that are hungry and thirst after righteousness, because you can be filled. There's an old hymn, an old song, that as you make your way to the altar, I want to read these words to you. You see, the world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world over, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you have found the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you could have all the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could attain, and yet you have not Christ within, then your whole life as you know it will be in vain. There'll come a time when death will call you, and riches cannot help you then. So come to Jesus. Only He can satisfy. Blessed are they after righteousness. My soul. for they shall be filled.
Father, wash over.